The story takes place in 2012 when two really huge things happened to me at once in my life. The first was that I moved in with my boyfriend. His name was Asterios. Don't look him up. And we were in LA. He was a stand-up comedian. I wasn't, but he thought I was hilarious. And objectively, I'm not, so like, keep your hopes down. And that was great. You know, we moved in together right after celebrating our first Christmas together with his family in the Bronx. I happen to love the Bronx. My people are from there, too. And that first Christmas was, it was really epic for me. I had never really celebrated a real family American Christmas. It wasn't waspy or anything. It was just, like, loving. I mean, I grew up, like, I was Jewish, but we were non-believers. We did this thing. It was just, like, gifts, you know? And then at some point in college, my mother was like, I don't have any more gifts. I don't know what to give you. Sorry. Like, it was my fault, you know? So this Christmas with Asterios and his family is like, it was his Trinidadian side, like lots of aunties and great aunties. And the best part was the food. His grandmother, who was 90, spent all day cooking, and she made these, I'm going to cry, she made these dumplings that like were the best thing I've ever eaten, so I think about them all the time. Like ginger, soy, like handmade dough, gently, it's a lot. So after we moved in together, you know, that was great, it was romantic, working things out, big step, big milestone. So at the same time that happened, I started to get migraine headaches a lot, and then I was having them every single day, like at 2, I know, this is where it gets a little sad, but at 2 o'clock every day, like, okay, game over. That's it for the day. It's pain time. So I don't know if anyone in this audience has suffered migraines. Anyone? Should we give it up for migraines? That was a bad idea because I don't like loud noises. But they're really bad. They're not just headaches. If you haven't suffered them, I mean, God bless your innocent soul. The best way that I could describe a migraine for you, I think actually this is exactly what it feels like. If somebody were to take a vice grip and squeeze your brain for 12 hours until it exploded, I think it's something like that. God forbid you should like bend over. I mean, everything becomes really hard. And so that was my life every day. And because I am like a super, super lucky duck, I also, in our new place, in the middle of the night, I would wake up like, I can't breathe, and with this like rash all over my body. And then at a certain point, my immune system was like, fuck this shit. And so I just started catching every cold you could think of. It was like every illness, minor to major, that I had ever experienced in my life all conspired to like play this big prank on me during the year of my life that should have been really the most wonderful. It was such an odd dichotomy. It's like, hey, baby, everything hurts and my skin's on fire, but you want a sex? So after this year, we were approaching our second Christmas together, and I just, you know, I kept thinking about it, the family, the dumplings, and so we arranged for a trip to New York, and I also needed to get the hell out of LA and whatever was poisoning me, because it's a dirty place. So my parents had an apartment also in the Bronx that was kept open in the winter. So we left early, and we arrived, I don't know, like the 19th or 20th, and our first day together in the Bronx was, I mean, it was like one of the best days of my life. We walked through Van Cortlandt Park. So I don't know, a lot of y'all probably don't realize the Bronx is gorgeous. And Van Cortlandt Park is, it's got this long path, and there's like woods on both sides, and you can walk all the way to Yonkers. And we did that day. And miraculously, I wasn't sick. I think it was the first day that whole year that I didn't have anything wrong. And I remember so many details about this walk. It's kind of crazy. I could just put myself there. I mean, it was very cold, but it was also sunny, which is always perfect. And his nose was really red. And he wore my dad's coat and my dad's hat. And his hand was really warm. And so there was something very protective about him with me that day. I remember we had a walking stick, and we called it our foster child. And then when we named it, I don't remember what. And then when we dropped it off in Yonkers, I made some kind of joke about how we were abandoning our first child. And he got, like, really sad. We were different, you know. And I remember on the walk, we would, like, we were making up comedy sketches. I had one that I really thought this was going to be great. It was called Squirrel Shade. And it was like if squirrels were drag queens, like shading each like my comedy career, it just didn't go that far. So I told you. But and then, you know, we got back at that night and we made love and it actually felt like more, you know. It was really like a perfect day. And then the next morning, he starts packing up. And he's like, I got to go to Long Island. My mom, she wants me to go shopping with her. It didn't even, like, make sense. I didn't want him to leave. First of all, I hate it when people change plans. I'm an INTJ, Myers-Briggs. He's, like, very P, so that was a problem. But, and he was going to go to the he was going to go to Long Island to see his parents Christmas Eve, so it's like he was going to go and then come back. I was just upset, and he wouldn't talk to me about it, and then he just left. And I, like, really needed him there. You know, things were good. I was pissed off. And then at the end of the day, he calls me, and he's like, I can't come back. I have to go to the urgent care. I don't feel well. Well, it's like, what the hell is going on? You never get sick. But I was the jerk because he went to urgent care. And I guess because we dared to have one really great day together, we were rewarded with him getting hand-and-mouth disease. Otherwise known as the Coxsackie virus. Not to be confused with hand, foot, and mouth. I don't know what that is. It's probably worse because there's like a foot, you know. So Coxsackie is this like very, very rare virus. And it mostly affects children who play in the woods in the Northeast. So the doctor thought we got it in the Northeast. And Asterios wasn't a child, but he did collect action figures. So Coxsackie is, like, very contagious. So he was put on quarantine for 10 days. And I was catching a cold, so we didn't think it was a good idea for me to go out there. So we spent Christmas, him quarantined in Long Island, and I was alone, depressed, in the Bronx. So day 10 of his quarantine was New Year's Eve, and I was like, well, I don't want to miss another holiday. I can go out there and we could stay in separate rooms. And so I took the train out there. And when I got off on the platform, you know, he was there. Baby, I was like, pat, pat, you know, Coxsackie. And he said he needed to give me my Christmas present right there on the train platform. And it was fucking cold. I mean, it wind chill like crazy. So I was just like, no, you can give it to me when we get home. No, we got to do it here. I promise, we got to do it here. And I just kept saying no because I was really, really cold. But finally, I compromised. So there was an elevator that was sheltered, and there were some garbage bins there. And I said, you can give me your present there. Okay. So we went over there, and the present was, it was a tower of, like, tea boxes. And I do like tea. Someone got a text. There were three boxes that were numbered, 1, 2, and 3, and he said I had to open them in order. So the first box, it was, I believe it was a Dunkin' Donuts Christmas ornament, because sometimes he gave me presents you would give a child, and that was good. The second box was a netbook, which is great, because I had broken mine. It was a receipt for it, not the whole thing. And then some teenagers came by, like, acting tough. And he was like, don't open the third one yet. So I was like, oh, wait, I think I know what's happening. So the teenagers left, and I opened the third box, and it was a diamond ring, which is why he went shopping. And then he got down on one knee. I don't remember what he said, probably, like, will you marry me or a variant? I do remember his face. Like, he had these eyes where he could just look so loving, and I remember that he was very nervous, and I remember that his cheeks were so puffy, like top puffy, a bottom puffy from the Coxsackie. I wasn't thinking about getting married at that time. I was just trying to get by every day, like, really hard. But I said, saying yes wasn't the hard part. I mean, What more can you want? But somebody, he didn't just stand by me that whole year of me falling apart from a person to a collection of symptoms. I mean, he continued to look at me like I was so beautiful and just loved me so much. So I said yes, and that was easy. But here's the thing, when somebody asks you to marry them and you say yes, the next thing that's supposed to happen is that you're supposed to kiss. And it was still day 10 of his quarantine. And if you think about it, it was actually pretty selfish of him to do it that day. Because given everything I had been through, how weak my immune system was, I mean, it was just, like, honestly, it might have been the very last thing, like, above hurricanes that I needed was Coxsackie virus at that moment. But it was that choice, like, do I jump into this thing and risk my self-preservation that I had spent so many decades working towards, to have this romantic moment that he created and see what happens. And so I did. I kissed him. It was sweet. He was really like lost in it, and it was tinged with a little bit of fear of disease. And we got engaged. I did not get Coxsackie, but I got a terrible flu, and unfortunately, the next year was really hard. Like, we had to move a lot. My health deteriorated. I needed some surgeries, you know, lucky duck. And actually, it became too much. We did get married in a courthouse, like, on his lunch break. I had a migraine, and after that, I made him celebrate our anniversary on the engagement. But we didn't make it. I'm actually in the middle of a divorce that's twice as long as the marriage was. I think it's just that it was more than he had signed on for because I did become so sick for so long. And, you know, then again, however hard it was for him, I think maybe it was harder for me. Not that it's a competition, but I would win that one, having had all of the symptoms except for 10 days of Coxsackie. But the thing is that when you have chronic illness, and as some of you know, 10 to 20%, they say, that you have a lot of bad days, but when you have a good day, you learn to just really, like, make the most of it. And I had two really healthy days in 2012. And on one of them, I took a really long, beautiful walk with my beloved and abandoned our first child. And on the second, I got engaged to be married. Thank you.